This is session four of Letting Go and Letting Be. This session is entitled Putting It All Together, and I'm Joe Vaughn. Today, would like to try to put some things together for those of you who have been in here for the previous three times. And what I'd like to focus on a little bit today is relaxation as meditation, or relaxation as a way of leading into a meditative experience. If you recall, the first time we talked about the nature of stress, how we experience stress, what happens in our bodies that contributes to stress in our minds, how stress can contribute to illness, physical and psychological. Second session, we talked about some ways in which we can learn to relax the body. Jacobson's deep muscle relaxation, for example. Yesterday, we talked about some ways to relax the mind. We talked about relaxed visualization. We talked about the use of imagination and focusing as a way of gaining relaxation. Today, I want to talk with you a little bit about meditation. I don't know if this book is still in the library, in the Holden Library, Hidden in Plain Sight, The Practice of Christian Meditation by Avery Brook, but it's quite good and written in a very clear, straightforward manner for those of you who might be interested in pursuing this a little bit further. I wanted to begin today by just reading a few passages to you as a way of speaking to what meditation is and what mantras are and that kind of thing. And then we'll do some more exercises today. Brooke, in his introduction, gives a little bit of an overview. And just let me read this to you. Prior to the 1960s, probably the most common use of the word meditation in the West was on signs in front of churches proclaiming, "This church is open for prayer and meditation." In monasteries and convents and among a few lay people, both Catholic and Protestant, the very specific and complex methods of meditation developed by St. Ignatius and others were known and used, but such knowledge was an exception. Here and there, groups and individuals practiced Zen, yoga, or other non-Christian forms of meditation, but they too were exceptions. We were not only vague about what meditation meant prior to the 60s and 70s, most of us were disinterested. People weren't particularly interested in prayer either. A spiritual vacuum had arisen within Christianity. When meditative practices stemming primarily from Hinduism and Buddhism began to be readily available, those who were spiritually hungry turned to them with eagerness. And we were just talking before the tape got rolling about TM, Transcendental Meditation, and how predominant that was in the late 60s and early 70s. In response to this phenomena, the rise of interest in meditation, a number of Christians have written books and articles. A few of these have denounced non-Christian forms of meditation. Recall the question from yesterday, I believe. But the majority have attempted to explain or adapt them for Christian use. With few exceptions, what has been ignored is Christianity's own vast heritage of meditative practice. One reason for this is that a great deal of Christian meditation is unrecognized as meditation. It's called by other names, forgotten by history, or known to one denomination, but not to others. Brooke goes on then to talk about, in a kind of an interesting way, some of the ways in which biblical persons were approached with visions, with direct communication from God, with messages, often while serving as shepherds. Moses, for example, serving as a shepherd under, I guess it was his father-in-law, Jethro, received a message from God in the burning bush. Several other examples that he uses and talks about shepherding as the kind of activity that requires some attention. You have to watch the sheep, but it also leaves time for lots of other kinds of thoughts and experiences in a kind of meditative way. He defines meditation. Brooks says the word meditation is used to describe a state of mind that is at one and the same time both unusually relaxed and unusually aware. And you'll recall my talking with you over the last three times about the fact that what we're looking for here is a focused attention in the context of relaxation. That's why trying not to put anybody to sleep. that we want to be able to, especially if we're going to do any kind of meditative experience, we want to be able to be alert and focused, but also very relaxed. And it's through that focused relaxation that we are able to meditate, that we are able to cut down the distracting thoughts, feelings, emotions that just bombard us every moment of the day. He says this state of mind may either arise naturally or by a great variety of methods, both spiritual and secular. These methods are also called meditation. However, a meditative state of mind is achieved, it not only brings relaxation and awareness, but opens doors to new thoughts and feelings welling up from the deeper reaches of the mind. He goes on to say, when you wish to learn how to meditate, rather than just having it come naturally, you are advised to concentrate on something simple in the foreground of your mind, thus the mantra, or the phrase, or the prayer, or the imagery that we've been talking about and we'll do some more of today. Interestingly enough, and just bear with me for a moment while I read you another paragraph here, he points out there is another aspect of human experience that is related to meditation, and that is the current and widespread interest in crafts and other spare time occupations such as gardening, cooking, bicycling, jogging, and cross-country skiing that hark back to older, simpler ways. Do we engage in these activities only for reasons of fun or health, nostalgia, or money saving? These are certainly reasons enough, yet perhaps we are also unconsciously seeking time to find that image of God that is within us. Then he talks about the difference between meditation being secular or meditation being religious, and he points out a very interesting point here, I think a very important one. He says, for meditation to become religious, a certain attitude must be added. But certainly one can attain a kind of meditative experience through jogging, through gardening, through doing all kinds of things, through focused relaxation, through transcendental meditation. But for meditation to be religious, we have to come with the attitude that it is what that we want it to be that we have to come with an attitude that says we want to do that in a religious manner. Two more paragraphs, and then I'll want to go ahead with you with the exercise. He says, if we're open to God in quiet and sanctified time, if we let Him write the agenda, if we let Him initiate the subject of conversation, what might that subject be? What might He say? It is a frightening thought. It takes a great deal more faith and courage to be open to what God may say than it does to speak to Him. Yet He also knows our lack of faith, our lack of courage, our lack of strength. We may like what He says or we may not, but He will not ask us. He will not ask of us more than we are able. Part of the reason for our lack of faith and courage is that we both fear and desire a clear, strong message from God. Yet God seldom speaks through a burning bush. He speaks in whispers, whispers flashing through our minds as we meditate, whispers in words or wordless, whispers coming to us seemingly from nowhere when our minds are not too busy to hear them. Whispers resulting from some happening in the day, from a few words we read or hear. But to hear whispers takes listening. To a large extent, all religious meditation, and certainly all Christian meditation, is listening prayer. Whatever the method, the purpose is to listen. But listen doesn't mean straining to hear, it means stilling the turmoil of our minds so that we may hear. Stilling the turmoil of our minds so that we may hear. That's really what we're going to try to do then today, and what we've been trying to do really in the last couple of days. Still the turmoil of our minds and the turmoil of our bodies for the benefits that it would provide physically and mentally, but spiritually as well. So that's what I'd like to try to put together with you today. Okay, I want to go through two basic things with you today. The first that we're going to do is I'm going to, again, get you as relaxed and help you to get as relaxed as you possibly can. We're going to do that in a little bit of a variation from what we've been doing, but basically the same kind of thing. So basically, again, find that comfortable position. For those of you who recall from that back of the room is a little bit more noisy maybe, and if you want to come up here, it's certainly okay. If you want to lay down, if you want to sit up, that's okay too. I suggest you take your glasses off. I'm going to go through the relaxation exercise with you today, again, with a little bit of a variation. And then I'm going to read to you some Christian mantras. And I'm going to ask you to, in this very relaxed state, simply contemplate those. And I'll help you with that as we go along. Okay, find that comfortable position. Close your eyes. Usually feet flat on the floor if you're sitting, hands in your lap. I want you to block out any distraction, whether it be inside or within yourself. I want you to focus entirely on what I have to say to you, listening to the sound of my voice, listening to the words. Take a few minutes now and focus on your breathing. Pay attention to the breathing process. Study the muscles and body parts involved in breathing. Notice the way in which your body moves when you breathe in and out. Focus for a moment on the pause at the top of your breath when you inhale, and at the bottom of your breath when you exhale. Study that pause and notice the feeling of quiet calmness in that pause. Now, take a deep, slow, even breath, and as you breathe, imagine yourself breathing in the love of God, and as you breathe out, imagine yourself breathing out all that is fearful and anxious and tense within you. Take another deep, slow, even breath, breathing in the goodness and love of God, and breathing out that which is negative, stressful, painful. The love of God breathing in, and the fearful and painful breathing out. breathe with that image for a moment. Filling yourself with the warmth and love of God, and emptying yourself of all that is negative, all that is painful. Notice the beginnings, a feeling of relaxation, calm, peaceful, serene, quiet, coming over you. Allow your entire body to be as relaxed and as limp and as heavy as you possibly can. Now, begin to allow the warmth of the love of God to begin to spread throughout your entire body. Filling you up as if you were an empty vessel. Penetrating down to your very toes. Breathing in the good, breathing out the bad. Filling you up, each breath bringing the level of God's loving warmth higher and higher, until you are completely filled. And relaxed. From your toes, up through your legs, your hips, stomach, chest, arms, shoulders, neck, head, filled completely with God's love for you. Breathe with that image for a few moments and fill yourself. Now, as you are quiet and more fully serene and relaxed than at any time today, listen to these words. Find their place deep within you. allow their meaning to flow over and around you. Glory to God. Thou Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. O Lord, my God and my Redeemer, teach me what I do not see. We are the temple of the living God. Lord Jesus Christ, love one another as I have loved you. Lose your life to find it. Prepare the way of the Lord. Hallowed be thy name. Behold the Lamb of God. If any man thirst, let him come to me. Once I was blind, and now I see. Be with those words and your own thoughts for a moment more. And then when you are ready, yawn, stretch, move around. Open your eyes. Well, how did anybody feel about that?
That one was so good, I didn't want to come back to this reality.
Didn't want to come back to this reality. Okay.
To me, the statement, we are the temple of the living God.
That had meaning for you?
Terrific.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else have any reactions?
We got lost.
Get lost? How do you mean?
I fell asleep. And I can't tell you even at what point, because I was just going to relax and go to sleep. And the next thing I knew,
the first time the mosquito bites haven't bothered me.
Anybody else?
I forgot how important it is to be comfortable, because unfortunately I sat on this chair with Patty and my feet were and I couldn't not get comfortable.
You were still trying to get your physical presence
now
set.
Now I'm ready.
Yeah, that's why I always recommend that you keep your feet flat on the floor, or that you're laying on the floor, because if you're with feet up or whatever, that it's just too... You don't realize it, but there are muscles that are holding you that way, you see. And those muscles are tensed. And the only way to really get that is to be either laying on the floor in a bed or to sit in a chair with your feet flat. Because then you can allow the chair ultimately to just support you. Anybody else have a thought about it to share what they experienced?
I found that some of the words I wanted to spend more time when you were saying them.
Went too quickly for you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you said, the joy of the Lord is my strength. That's a song that I know. So I wanted to stay there for a while. And she moved on, and I thought, wait a minute.
Anybody else?
I already had a beautiful imagery, more beautiful than I've ever had, when you were talking about the Spirit of God entering into our bodies. Just moving through me, just like many blood vessels. Just really neat.
That can be a very powerful image.
Yeah.
Good. Anybody else?
I just had a question. When you mentioned those different things, did you want us to just concentrate on those words, or let those words elaborate back to us?
Well, I was combining a few things, really. Again, what I did was read you a list of mantras, Christian mantras, that can be used in meditation. They aren't used in that way. It's a little thing that I've done in the past where I like to introduce it through relaxation or through meditation. Actually, what you would do if you were meditating, you would take one of those. And I guess what I was looking for here and what I'd ask you to think about now, if there was any one, like you said, that particularly appealed to you, or that you particularly could respond to, that would be something that you might want to, on your own, then work with only that phrase or only that short set of words. All of those are really kind of too much stimulation, but I wanted to have you hear them all, and I wanted to have you hear them all in a contemplative state. But what I really want you to do was just hear those and respond to them. But that would not be the way we would meditate. We would take one of those, and you would take that for yourself. Relax yourself, or use that at times during the day where you would want to focus only on that phrase. And it's, as Brooke points out, it's in that focusing in the upper part of our mind on something that, for our purposes, for Christian purposes, would be spiritual, that keeps everything else away. All the noise, all the worries, all the concerns. But it opens us up to other possibilities then, you see. It opens us up to hearing what God might have to speak to us in that sense. It opens us up to what we might begin to be able to listen to in that phrase. And unless we have that kind of focused awareness, we never get to that point often enough. times and listening to a sermon and times and listening to a song or in church or praying. Of course, we have those experiences. This is a way of trying to put ourselves in a position to have more of that kind of experience where we can truly listen more carefully. Meditation, as Brooke says, is listening to God, listening to what God might have to say to us. Spiritual meditation is.
Well,
and contemplation.
You said, Lord, teach me what I do not see. Is that what you said?
I have to
show me what I do not see or something.
Teach me what I do not see. I was struck the first time I did this by how these things fit together.
Mm-hmm.
So nice. I don't know if Brooke wrote them that way, but he lists them that, and I know as I read them, I see connections, and I just wondered whether any of you heard those as connected in some ways. They seem to relate in many ways to me.
Do you have a compilation of what you have given us this week, or would you recommend that book?
I would recommend this book, certainly, as something you would want to purchase. I would recommend the tapes, too. They're taping these.
Mm-hmm.
So that
as is, or will they be consolidated without our comments and so on?
No, I think they'll have your comments on them, too. But they will have the presentation of the exercise, which you might want to.
Would you have time to make one tape that... in the tape library, everybody's asleep, you know, without all that would be the physical, deep muscle one, and then the imagery one, and then some of the mantras on it. Would you have time to make one like that doesn't have all the interruptions and the...
Well, I might, and I'll think about that as a possibility, sure, if we can do that. I see your point that on the tape, as you might be listening to it here, then you'd hear me talking.
All this would be kind of irritating or undue.
Mm-hmm.
You'd almost have to make our own tape from your tape again.
Yes. Yeah, that could be done, I guess.
When you're repeating these, then do you say them out loud to yourself, or?
You can say it out loud. You can do exactly what we've done here. You can say it. You can turn it over in your mind. Always coming back to the phrase, it's again in the beginning, what happens is that you begin to do that, and after a few minutes you begin to think, how long have I been doing this, and what's for dinner, and I better defrost the meat, and I wonder what we're going to do tonight, and gee, this is long, you know, how am I doing, and you get lost in that. So you always have to just allow those thoughts to come, pass them away, go back to the focus. Again, it seems very simple. It isn't easy to do. I know I don't do it very well. I haven't done it much. My experience has been mostly leading other people and showing them how to do it. But I think it certainly is not an easy thing to do, and everyone who has tried will tell you that.
Do people ever write? I mean, have you ever heard people doing this and then writing thoughts that come to them down?
Well, that certainly would be a way to do it. I can share my own experience in jogging. I'm interested, this is totally secular, but I'm interested in doing some writing. And I was jogging one day, and I had this, as I was jogging 4 miles, and wondering whether I could do it, and the last couple of miles just totally struggling, began to have this great idea about what I needed to write in a particular story that I wanted to write. And I rushed back to the locker room and got paper and pencil and began writing some of those things down. It doesn't help to write down, and it's disruptive to write while you're doing it. But certainly as you stop, you might want to sit down with paper and pencil and write down some of your thoughts or feelings about it that you might want to look back over then. Okay, there's another thing I want to do with you today then before we stop, that is what we would call guided imagery. This is also from a Christian perspective. I'm going to take you through an exercise now. But any of you who would like to look at the book, or any of you who, if it isn't in the bookstore here any longer, want to copy down some of the mantras, there are several other examples of different kinds of mantras and several prayers. So those are available in this book if you'd like to do that. Here again, it's kind of interesting to do here. If you really want to use it, you have to stay with it a little bit. You have to give it some time. And again, I think you can see why going to sleep is a no-no. Okay, let's do the next. For those of you who are worried about the first lunch or the first dinner, I don't think you need to worry. I think we'll be finished by then. But if you're really going to be worried about it, you might want to leave at this point. Of course, that really puts you on the spot. Now, if you get up and leave, you're really just interested in your tummies and not really interested in learning. Yes? Avery Brook.
Avery Brook?
Yes. Hidden in Plain Sight.
Hidden in Plain Sight.
Okay, find that comfortable spot. If you're sitting, feet flat on the floor, hands in your lap. If you're laying, it's usually best to lay on your back. Take off your glasses if you haven't already done so. Close your eyes. Begin to block out other thoughts, other feelings, other concerns, any noise inside the room or outside. You can just not pay attention to it. Take a few deep, slow, even breaths and bring your breathing into a very regular, smooth pattern. In your mind, move over your entire body and relax any part that feels tense or uncomfortable. Allow your chin to droop forward on your chest, letting your neck, your head, your shoulders just relax. Allow the relaxation to spread throughout your entire body. Limp and heavy, relaxed, just let go, taking a few minutes for yourself, just to be relaxed, quiet. I'm going to count from 1 to 10. And as the numbers get higher, notice that your relaxation will increase. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, more and more relaxed. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. More relaxed and quiet, calm, serene. 9. Imagine yourself now leaving the area where we are. Walking alone across a rich, green, fertile valley. Ahead of you, the mountains, sky blue above. As you walk along the winding path, notice the beautiful wildflowers in patches of pastels, yellow, pink, and blue across the meadow. The sun is warm and bright, casting a relaxed glow over you and the entire meadow. Birds flying overhead in a sky of deep azure blue. Their singing gives you a feeling of great peace and calm. As you walk further along the path, you notice a slight incline. Some trees appear on the horizon. As you approach the grove of trees, notice someone ahead, sitting under the trees. As you come closer, you know that it is Jesus. He looks at you and smiles and beckons you to come to him. You feel deeply the power of his love and concern for you. He reaches his hand out to you, and you take it. The warmth of his touch reassures you completely. You sit down with him there under the trees, and he asks you to talk with him about whatever is on your heart. whatever might be of concern to you in your life. With whom you are concerned. Perhaps it's something or someone you have been unable to forgive. Perhaps it's yourself. Take some time now to talk with him about whatever is on your heart. Phil, any thoughts about that? That was okay.
Beautiful. Very, very tingly. When I was guessing ahead that you probably were surprised from the scene, and I was anticipating it. So when he was on the scene, I got just tingly, as I usually do in meditation.
Anybody else?
Very neat. After I said what I wanted to say, I carried it a little bit further, and I asked what was bothering him.
Mm-hmm.
And that may be a bit presumptuous, but my rationale was that whatever contribution or good deed I might do in my life, I would know that I was doing it in the right area.
Oh,
indeed.
Yeah. Anybody else want to say what happened?
I really felt like I was able to listen to God's voice, and that there was really dialogue going on. I was helpful. And he was something that had been helpful for me. And I also carried it further. I felt like it had been resolved, and I found myself getting up and going back into the meadow, and then you said, you're getting up and leaving me. I thought, okay, we'll do that again. We'll go over again.
I'm always ahead or behind of somebody.
I thought it was interesting. He did what I expected him to do when we stood, and I was ready for him to embrace. And then as I walked away, I was ready to turn around and wave. As you said, he was going to it. Just like he did what I expected him to do.
Anybody else have a thought?
I had the feeling that I was talking too much.
That you were talking to me?
Which I was saying, please, I give it to you, not as the Lord gives.
I felt that you were talking to me?
Anybody have a bad feeling about that? A bad experience? I probably should have. I was just talking with you about listening to God. I probably should have told and or used as a part of the thing. Spend some time listening too. But
well,
some of you did that on your own.
I always laugh. The Lord has a way of getting His word in edgewise,
yeah,
too. Sometimes.
Well, that can be a very powerful image, of course, and I think one for me that I always. Well, it's just very positive for me, too.
I think I've always thought of myself in student grass, in the position of kneeling before my Lord, and I've never imagined before His standing and embracing me and how that touching and beautiful.
I'm sure that he would do that, or I would think that he would.
Sure.
I hope he does. Well, that's basically what I wanted to do with you today. And that's really all I have to tell you. We We have lots of stress in our lives, lots of things that go wrong in our lives. I believe that putting it all together really is being able to relax physically and mentally, but spiritually as well. And I hope that you had a little bit of that in the